If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Everybody, this is Rick with the Monorail Tales podcast, and I'm here tonight with one of my very good friends, Cindy Ellicott, all the way from the Great White North.
Yeah, blown away out here today.
Yes, you've been sharing pictures on Facebook, and man, I'm glad I live where I live because we don't have snow yet.
Yeah, don't come visit right now. It's cold and it's windy and it's blowing snow every day.
So I think what we're going to talk about will maybe hopefully warm you up a little bit. And what we're going to be talking about is a recent trip that you and your daughter took to Florida.
Yes.
And other places.
Like a lovely trip. Yes.
Yes. Amazing. Yeah. I followed along a little bit. I don't know a lot of the details, so I'm dying to hear it myself. So let's just go ahead and start at the beginning. When did you go on your trip?
So we flew out of Saskatoon November 7th.
All right.
So we arrived in Orlando early evening, November 7th.
Okay. And you started your trip at Walt Disney World, is that correct?
Yeah, we stayed at Caribbean Beach Resort for the first week. And okay. Did Walt Disney World, did the parks, and enjoyed using the Skyliner and stuff like that.
Had you ever been to Caribbean Beach before?
Nope, and we loved it. We were in Aruba, which is close to Riviera, close to the Riviera Skyliner. So it was like 5-minute walk for us to the Skyliner, 10 minutes to go to Riviera to grab something at their quick service or have breakfast. And while we were there, the weather was beautiful. We missed the week before had been cool. And then the week after was kind of rainy and cool. So, and for us, it was kind of mid-70s to low-80s the whole week we were there. So we had a beautiful week.
It sounds like it. So what were some of the highlights of your Disney portion of the trip?
Well, definitely the Very Merry Time Christmas Party. And I know it was expensive. There's been a lot of people a little bit frustrated at the cost of it, but, and I, you know, I'm speaking from, we went as two adults, so it wasn't taking a whole family or anything like that. And my daughter did pay for it because she was taking me on this trip, but we really did feel the value was there. I know it was over $200 and we went early. So it was one of the least expensive nights. It was the second night of the Christmas party. And so it helped a little bit, had an annual pass discount. But just amazing, the parade, the fireworks, the Christmas time show with all of the characters. There was a lot of characters out and wandering around. The thing that got me with the parade is that the floats were like Disney scented. So with the bake shop one, you could smell Christmas cookies, sugar cookies and stuff. And with the frozen one, you smelled like winter freshness when it went by. And we did rides early on at night during the kind of transition from when people were leaving the park that weren't going to the Christmas party and to when the Christmas party started. And we were just walking on everything. We just went from ride to ride to ride to ride. And we had, you know, we were wearing our pajamas and having a good time and getting hot chocolate and cookies. And just really, it was a beautiful night. It wasn't cold or anything. And then we did the parade and the second viewing of the fireworks and stuff later. So there was no crowd at all. We didn't have to line up or, you know, stake out a spot in the hub for fireworks. We just went out, wandered over there about 10 minutes before the fireworks started, had a perfect view of it, and amazing fireworks show. Amazing. I mean, if you're really into Christmas music and the Christmas spirit and stuff like that, it blew me away. I couldn't believe how absolutely fantastic it was.
That's really great to hear, because I know with at least starting out with the Halloween party, there was a lot of negative feedback, but it kind of sounds like Disney took the feedback and made some changes to improve on, you know, the initial experience. Because
I feel like they added value to it, that they heard the feedback that people didn't really think with the Halloween parties at the start, that there was a lot of extra value for what they were paying for. So mm-hmm. with this, yes, they were asking a good price for it, but they definitely made sure the value was there. And the people were upset because there wasn't specific Christmas party merch, but there was definitely a lot of Christmas merch there. There was all kinds of spirit jerseys and, you know, pins and stuff like that. So hats and blankets and, you know, kitchen towels and everything you could want. And all of the stores were well stocked. So, and that was a big complaint, because we had gone to the Halloween party as well, and we noticed the lack of any kind of merchandise was a little disappointing. So, you know, this was nice. We got to spend money.
Yeah, I bet Disney loved you for that.
Yeah, no kidding.
One thing I forgot to ask, who did you go on your trip with?
Oh, my daughter, Brittany. So Brittany is an adult and lives on her own. She is a registered nurse, graduated May of 2020. So right into COVID times as a nurse, had planned this trip for just before she graduated. She had wanted me to take me on this trip in February of 2020, and we ended up having to cancel it. They weren't shutting things down yet at that time, but she was being in nursing school and working in the hospitals. She had said, we shouldn't be traveling right now. She was hearing all kinds of stories of what was happening in other countries and stuff. And she said, we need to cancel this. We shouldn't be traveling. So we canceled it then. And this was finally when we got to go. And, worked out really well. And so, yeah, she took me. This was her gift to me, and we had a wonderful time.
Isn't that lovely? It just maybe gives me hope that one day my kids will do that for me.
Yeah, they grow up to be good humans, don't they? It's nice.
All right. So Walt Disney World was only one leg of your trip, so to speak. What was the second portion of your trip?
So the second portion was something we had never done before. And it was a cruise on the Disney Dream. So on the morning of the 15th, we drove to Port Canaveral and we boarded the Disney Dream for a four-night cruise into the Bahamas. So went to Nassau, went to Castaway Key. It was an amazing experience. Disney was very COVID conscious, so we, of course, had to be vaccinated to be on the ship. Everybody 12 and older had to be vaccinated, and if they were under 12, they had to have a test 3 days prior to boarding, and then they had to test with all of us, because everybody had to test just prior to boarding, and you had to wait in your car for an hour until you got your results, and then once your results came back negative, then you were allowed to board. So that was just the start of it.
Was that nerve-wracking for you too?
Yes, especially because we had spent the week in Orlando first. It was kind of like, not sure if we should have done that, because you never know. Everybody worries about getting sick at, you know, in a big crowd. You're in groups of people. You're in close quarters with people. And we knew we were vaccinated, but we also knew that there was a chance that we could have tested positive. So it was a bit nerve-wracking, but we had no symptoms. We were feeling good. So,
and since you guys came from Canada, did you rent a car or did you just rely on Disney transportation?
We rented a car.
Okay, so you
always rent a car just because it's causes less anxiety if we have our own vehicle as far as being able to travel around and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. My daughter has IBS, so relying on somebody else's transportation can be very anxiety provoking for her. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those vicious circles where the more you worry about it, the worse it gets. So we find it's reasonable for us to rent a car and just do away with that anxiety. So,
okay. So you guys actually drove to Port Canaveral yourself?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, we did. We parked in the garage there. I think it cost us $85 to park there, leave the car parked there for the time of the cruise.
Okay. So now that you have received your negative test results, why don't you just go ahead and walk me through, you know, walking on the ship, what that's like, and, you know, your first night there.
So everything is changed with new protocols and new procedures. So instead of everybody just lining up, we had had to reserve a boarding time beforehand. So we knew what time we were going to be boarding. And when it was within 15 minutes of it, we were given sent a text and said it was our turn and we could come in. They were boarding us in family groups of five family groups at a time. And they had five physically distant spots marked in the lobby atrium area when you come in. And then you would get the welcome show and then you would move on and go to your muster drill area. And so they were keeping small because then everybody, only one from each group would go to the muster drill area as well. So they'd go to five different muster drill areas from those five parties. And then by the time you got down at your muster drill, then they were moving another group. So they were keeping everybody very physically distanced when we came in. And of course, your room is ready. We had a boarding time of about 11:30 in the morning. So we were on the ship by noon. And your room isn't ready until, you know, maybe 2:33 in the afternoon. And we knew that. So we had our carry-ons with us and had swimsuits and towels and stuff. So we just went up to the deck and we hung out. We didn't actually end up swimming. We were just too busy looking around at stuff and checking things out to see what was going on. And Britt had watched a video about the Cabana's buffet and how they have crab legs on the buffet on the day that you board. So she wanted to get in on that because she loves crab legs. So we went and went to Cabana's. And the interesting thing with the COVID protocols for the buffet, you know, people have asked, well, how do you operate a buffet with, you know, people worrying about COVID? But they had it worked out really well. Again, you were being escorted into the buffet. There was staff there. There were hand wash stations prior to entering at all of the entrances, where with hot water and soap and towels, and you had to, the staff watched you and you had to wash your hands with hot water and soap. And then you could enter the buffet. And then when you went to line up, there was a staff person behind and they would sanitize their hands and put on gloves and take a plate. And then they just moved down the buffet with you and they just added whatever you wanted to your plate and then handed you the plate when you were done. And you got escorted and you had to wear your mask until you were seated. And they would escort you to the table. So they knew you, they took you to a clean table. Nobody was going to a table that hadn't been cleaned and sanitized and stuff. And they had a lot of staff there that escorted you around just to make sure that people were following the procedures and stuff. You had to wear the masks anywhere indoors. You didn't have to wear them on deck by the pool or by the hot tub or anything like that. But every one of the public washrooms, they had a washroom attendant standing outside. And so as soon as somebody used the washroom and left, they would go in and sanitize everything and clean it all up again. And on the pool, every half hour, they went by with a squeegee with a sprayer with the sanitizer. And they would spray down the deck and squeegee it down. If you left your pool chair and you went and got in the pool or the hot tub, you came back, it had been sanitized. And there was clean bath towels there for you or pool towels or whatever. So there was a lot of staff just doing the cleaning and the sanitizing.
That's really just so amazing.
Yeah, well, we were blown away by it and didn't seem to be too many passengers fighting it. There was one rude guy that made one of the cast members cry because he was arguing about how stupid it was to have to wear his mask in the elevator when we were boarding, but I think people were happy enough to be there that there weren't too many challenges. Everybody just seemed to be happy. And so the Disney Dream can have up to 4,500 passengers, but with COVID rules right now, they can only have a third of that. So they had 1,600 passengers. So there was a lot of space as well. You're spaced out rooms wise. You know, there wasn't anybody next to you in your stateroom. So if you were hanging off the balcony, there wasn't somebody 2 feet away from you, or, you know, hanging out on your balcony, not hanging off the balcony. We're not doing Titanic here. they were just very, very aware. When we went to shows, we went to see two shows, which were amazing. So it's like live theater. So there was the Beauty and the Beast was the one, and Disney's Believe was the second one. Both of them were very, very good. And just the creativity and the ability of the actors was amazing. But you were escorted into the theater, and then each party had to leave three seats between them and the next party that was seated. And then they were only seating every other row. And if you got up to go out to washroom or something, you were escorted out, and they checked to make sure people were leaving their masks on in the theater and weren't taking them off, all that kind of stuff. So it was, they were being very, very careful. And we actually talked to our server the last day, and she said that the day we were leaving, that was going to be her first day ashore since she had a 6-month contract, and it had started in June when Disney Dream started sailing again. And she hadn't been off the ship since. But that's how strict their protocol is for the staff, that they weren't allowed to leave. And she had about 5-page thing that she had to, of rules and things that she had to follow in order to leave the ship and come back on, and the testing that she had to do and stuff like that, even at that point. So they were really being careful. They don't want any issues on board because they're just getting back to cruising, I guess. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's really very reassuring, you know, at least to me, because we're looking at, you know, who knows what things are going to be like in 7 months when we go on our cruise.
But you really do have confidence that they're doing the best they can.
Yeah, I mean, I would go now.
Yeah, we thought, like, I think that we were safer there than we had been anywhere. I feel like there was more attention. Like, I've never seen a ship so sparkling, so clean, so, you know, it was just, and everybody was just on it. Like, you constantly seen staff changing their gloves, and the stateroom attendant, I mean, he was in and out of our room 5 or 6 times a day, just tidying stuff up and emptying garbages and sanitizing stuff. If we touched anything, it got sanitized, and you know, they sanitized, they just went up and down the hallway sanitizing the rails and stuff like that constantly.
Yeah.
I felt that they were really doing a good job of instilling confidence in the people. I would think that it was a safe environment.
Yeah, it seems like, at least stateside here, that things have relaxed a little bit.
I think everywhere people are you know, starting to feel more relaxed with more people vaccinated and stuff like that. And it just, and time has passed and people are just not, you know how it is. We all get used to it, and then our tolerance starts to be a little different. But our first port was Nassau, the second day out, that morning. And again, you were given, you had to go on to a virtual queue and get a time to leave the ship, so that there wasn't a whole bunch of people lined up waiting when they opened the doors. They were just bringing people down 4 or 5 every 5 minutes to, you know, go through the process and get off the ship. And so anybody that was under 12 could only go on a Disney excursion where they would only be associating with people off of our ship. If they went on any excursion other than that, a private tour, or went to eat at one of the local restaurants in Nassau with family or whatever, and they weren't vaccinated, then they had to have a COVID test before they could come back on the ship. So basically, most of the families with kids stayed on the ship and didn't get off. But even for us, like, we had to, we went and did our own thing. We didn't go on Disney excursions. We went and toured the the rum cake factory and the rum plantation and a few other things, and ate at a you know, conch fritters and stuff like that, and shrimp fritters on the beach for lunch. And so when we came back, they asked us questions and stuff like that, and making sure that we had been outside, or that if we had been inside, we had to wear a mask. And they let us know before we got off the ship that in Nassau, you were required to wear your mask everywhere, outside and inside. So we knew that we had to wear our mask even when we were outside while we were in port. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you had a lot of fun. And I personally can say that I benefited from your excursion to the Rome factory. Because yeah. I ended up with a couple of rum cakes, and they're very tasty.
Yeah. They are very good. Yeah. They, well, and of course they let you sample them. So then you go home with a whole bag full.
Yes.
They were delicious. And I know that you like baking, so I thought you would enjoy them.
Yes. They were very, very tasty. It was a good breakfast one day, and then a good snack when I got back that night, because I had two of them.
Yeah. It was fun. It was fun to go to the factory and see where they were doing things, and there was a real positive vibe on the island because they're getting back into tourism. They were telling us that prior to COVID, they normally would have 6 ships dock a day there. And, you know, you're looking at our ship would normally have had 4,500 people on it. That's a lot of people that were normally coming and all of a sudden stopped, where they had zero. So when we were there, there were 4 ships there. Now, they wouldn't have all been full, obviously, but at least there was a positive vibe of restaurants being open again and stuff like that, bars and stuff, because there were tourists around, and there were, you know, the straw market was functioning again where it had been closed down. And so I think there was a lot of, it just felt happy. Everybody just was happy to see you and happy to talk. And we had a really good time at Nassau. And then, of course, back on the ship, and you know how it's like, they've got the 3 different restaurants, the Enchanted Garden, the Animator's Palette, and the Royal Palace. And you're assigned to a different restaurant each night. So the first night we went to Animator's Palette, and the food is amazing. And the service was fantastic because they had a lot of crew there and, you know, not as many people on board. So we basically had a couple of people at our table entertaining us all the time. I took some pictures of 2 of our servers, you know, pretending to play the banjo and sing to us and stuff like that. And there was the one that was, you know, drawing games and playing games with people at the table. And so it was a really amazing experience. I've never had service to that level where they were just, you know, you use a fork and they replaced it and gave you another fork. And, you know, they take the cloth napkin and put it on your lap for you when you sit down and hold your chair out. And I don't go to that fancy places very often. So we really found it amazing. They give you smaller portions, but as much as you want. Like, you didn't, at one point, Brittany had said she didn't really know whether she wanted the prime rib that night or the jerk chicken. And our server was like, well, why decide? I can bring you both. So she did. She just brought her both of them. So once we learned that, we were having 4 or 5 desserts every night. It's like, oh, so the last night we were at Royal Palace, and the dessert choices were a Grand Marnier souffle, creme brulee, Tahitian vanilla creme brulee, and a chocolate, one of those like chocolate lava where it melts when they pour it in. And like, how are you supposed to choose between all of that? There was a caramel pecan cheesecake, and you might as well just bring us all of those and we'll just try them all. So it was interesting, but it was very good. To make up for it, though, when we were at Castaway Key, I did go walk the 5K, so got my medal for that. It's not official anymore. Like, it used to be, you had to get off the ship at 7:45 and go in at 8 o'clock. Everybody did this 5K and came back. Now it's not official, but they have all the markers up, so you can just go and do it on your own. And then you just go back, when you're back on the ship, you go to guest services and tell them that you did it, and they give you the 5K medal.
Okay, so you don't even have to, like, sign up for it. You just do it?
Yeah, you just do it. And some people were doing it on bikes, and some people were walking. And
so how did you find Castaway Key to be?
really nice. It was a perfect day for it. The water was really warm because it had been quite warm, and but it wasn't sweltering on the beach. And even as far as for doing the 5K, it was a few of the cast members commented, yeah, you probably enjoyed it because it wasn't near as hot and humid. It was about 76 degrees that morning, I believe, so, and a little bit of a breeze. So it was just beautiful to go out and walk around the island. And of course, Disney pays attention to every detail. So as you're walking the 5K, you go through there, you get to tour a little bit through the path, goes through some of the natural area. So Castaway Key is 26 acres, they told us. And Disney is only allowed to develop about 2.5 acres of it. The rest of it they maintain as a natural habitat for the Bahamas. And they maintain like coral reef and stuff like that off of it. And in fact, they nurture the growth and they plant whatever it is that starts the coral reef growing there. So you were walking these trails through this natural habitat, but then there would be a Disney, you know, Donald Duck or a plane from one of the movies or something like that along the trail. So you knew you were still on the right path. So it was pretty cool. And then I didn't realize this, but when the ship docks, and I guess it makes sense, I just hadn't thought about it, but they unload all of the food and the provisions, and about half of the cooking, like chefs and stuff like that, get off and go on the island, and they prepare the food that you eat while you're on the island. So they've got like three different barbecue places that you can go and eat, and there's some bars and stuff like that where you can get drinks and ice cream places, along with all of the gift stores where you can buy all of the Castaway Key merchandise. But the barbecue food at lunch was amazing. And again, it was handled the same way as cabanas. You had to wash your hands, the hot water, they had the wash station set up and cast members right there making sure everybody in line washed. And then they took your plate and walked through the whole thing and just put on it whatever you wanted, walked you over with your plate and sat you down at a place that they cleaned before you sat down. And then, you know, if you wanted to go again, they walked you through again. And it was very conscientious of, I would think they should do this all the time for cruises, because how many times has there been some sort of a bug that went through a cruise ship that, you know, a lot of people got sick, and this would definitely prevent it.
Yes, for sure. Like the norovirus, I've heard nightmares about that.
We were in Puerto Vallarta once when a ship ended up there stranded for about 6 weeks.
Flu
going through and people couldn't get off, and they were allowed to dock there and get medical aid, but nobody was allowed to get off the ship. They were there for 6 weeks.
I can't even imagine. I cannot imagine. So at Castaway Key, did you and your daughter just kind of do things on your own, or were there like excursions there that you could do?
There were excursions there, and we didn't do any of them. We sort of decided, since this was our first cruise, we weren't going to do any of the kind of upgrades that you paid more for. We didn't try and get Apollo or a Remy booking at the restaurants that were, you know, over and above what you paid for in your cruise. And when we went to Castaway Key, we just wanted to explore it and see what it was like. They have different things. So you can rent equipment and you can go snorkeling. You can rent bikes and go bike riding. You can rent the jet skis and do jet skiing. You can get a package where you can do three or four of the things, because we got off the ship about 8:30 and didn't have to be back on till 4:30. So you've got a full day there, which was nice. So you could have done, and probably I would like to do snorkeling if we manage to get back there at some point, because afterwards I saw a video of a Disney vlogger that was on the cruise with us, and they did the snorkeling. And of course, Disney has done all the detail, and they've got ships and stuff that you can see when you go out snorkeling. And there's Disney statues and stuff under the water. You can see Mickey and Daisy and stuff like that waving to you under the water. So I think that would be interesting. It would be fun to do. I'm not a swimmer, however, so I'm a little bit hesitant to go out in the ocean. But
yeah, I can see where that would kind of give you a pause.
We thoroughly enjoyed the day, just basically relaxing on the beach. The water was nice and warm, and You know, we went out into the water and went swimming just on the beach. Brittany saw a baby barracuda while she was out there, and we were looking at shells, finding shells and stuff like that, and playing with that. So we had a really relaxing time that day on Castaway Cay. The whole cruise was pretty relaxing. I mean, we didn't really push ourselves to do a whole bunch of things. We did a little bit of trivia and games and stuff. We went to the lounge. The entertainment on the cruise was unbelievable. There was a young fellow named Jordan Caswell who was playing an acoustic violin. And we went to a couple of his sets, and just unbelievable talent, like just amazing. And there was a comedian, and there was, you know, and of course you can sign up for mixology things. Again, we didn't sign up for any of the extra things, but we talked to people that went to them and said that they were quite informative and they really enjoyed doing them. So in the future, we may try and do something like that. But this time, we just took it easy. We went to the shows that were included. We thought that was amazing. Of course, they play first-run movies. So they had, could have went to see Eternals or Shang-Chi or Jungle Cruise was on. They were playing quite a few different movies that we could have went and saw. Brittany went and saw two of them, but she went late at night and I was tired. So, I was like, I'm not going to a 2.5 hour movie at 11 o'clock at night. Sorry. I want to be able to get up and enjoy the sunrise on the veranda. So I did. I would get up in the morning there's a note you can put out the night before for what time you want coffee delivered to your room in the morning. And they'll bring you coffee to your room in the morning so you can have a coffee on your veranda and stuff like that. There is 24-hour room service included. At no extra cost other than you just tip the servers that bring it to you, but you can have anything you want 24 hours a day just brought to your room if you want to. If you just want to chill and sit in your room and sit on the veranda and watch the ocean go by too.
Oh goodness, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, Britt and I kept meaning to order like 1 o'clock in the morning, order some warm chocolate chip cookies and milk, but we just never got around to it. Our dinner time was 8:25. So by the time we would finish our five desserts after dinner and get out of there at like 10 o'clock or a little after 10, we weren't interested in eating anything more at night. But
yeah,
it was our dream. We thought we were going to do that, but never worked out.
It's funny how those things work out.
There was lots of opportunity to eat because Cabanas was open for breakfast, but you could also go to either Enchanted Garden or Royal Palace was open if you wanted to go and have a breakfast made for you. So they had Eggs Benedict or whatever, but you could go to Cabanas and they would make you an omelet or they would make you an egg sandwich or egg and sausage sandwich or whatever. Plus they had huge amounts of food, mostly for breakfast. We were getting fresh fruit and, you know, stuff like that. But so Cabanas was open right through from, they'd be open, I think, at 6:30 in the morning until 2:30 in the afternoon. And then the restaurants would start. The first seating for dinner was about 5:30. And in between, if you decided you were hungry, you could either order room service or on the one deck, there was a bunch of kind of like fast food places. So there was Flo's Diner, there was burgers, there was pizza, Luigi's Pizza. There was a fresh food place where you could get salads, vegetable trays, fresh fruit trays, things like that. There's all the soft serve ice cream you can eat. You can just help yourself. Well, no, somebody made it for you, put it in a cup. It used to be help yourself. But you could get ice cream anytime you wanted. There is also an extra cost you can pay for Penelope's sweet shop. So you can go and get like macarons and fancy cookies and fudges and sweets and candies and stuff too if you want. So and then the shopping was amazing too. There was three main stores plus all of the fancy high-end ones that you didn't want to dare go in, the diamond stores and the high-end cigar stores and stuff like that. But we really enjoyed the shopping. The cast members were just absolutely amazing, helping you out to find whatever you wanted and looking for it. And Brittany was looking for a spirit jersey from the cruise, and you know, they were checking other stores and seeing if they could find one, and did and managed to find her one by the end of the cruise. So they were just super helpful everywhere, and a lot of fun. It's kind of fun to just have time to wander. And there's, it's, you know, when you, I love shopping at the Emporium or World of Disney, but you're in a crush. There are so many people there that you can't really look at things. You're just constantly, somebody's wanting to see what you're looking at. Whereas on the ship, it was, and of course, only 1,600 people, not 4,500, right? But you could wander and you could just browse through things and look at things and ask questions. And it was fun shopping. I really enjoyed it. And I bought way more pins than I should have. But for some reason, I acted like I was never going to be on a cruise again. So I had to buy all the cruise pins.
There you go. So did you have a sea day while you're on there?
Yeah, we had the one day. That was our final day. Thursday before we came back Friday morning, and ended up being a bit of a rough day. The captain actually came on at one point and apologized, said that a storm had come up and they'd been unable to avoid it. I didn't notice it, but Brittany noticed that the ship was rocking a fair bit and moving, and we heard via the grapevine that there were a few people that were having issues with seasickness because of it. So thankfully it didn't bother either of us. Although after we got off the ship, it took Brittany about 3 days to get her leg. She kept still felt like she was swaying. So that was interesting. But I never noticed it either way. And I was worried I was going to get seasick. So I was very happy to not have any effect from it at all. It would have been a shame to not be able to eat 5 desserts.
Yeah. Of all the rotten luck.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, if you only could eat one.
I got to tell you, it's pretty hard to come home from that and get used to having to make your own bed in the morning, put your own pajamas away and clean your own bathroom and, you know, wash your own dishes and make your own meals.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to fold your toilet paper to a point.
Exactly, yeah.
So was there any events on your sea day?
On that the night? Sea day? Oh, yes. So we had Pirate Night the one night, and that was the night we were at Castaway Key.
Okay.
And so, yeah, there was Pirate Night. We dressed up in our best pirate gear. And actually, when we were in Nassau, they have a lot of cigar stores and stuff like that. So just as a lark, because neither Brittany or I smoke or have ever smoked, we decided we were going to buy a couple cigars and smoke them on the cigar deck on the ship on Pirate Night. So that's what we did. We dressed up as pirates and we went up onto the cigar deck and we ordered a rum drink and we smoked our cigar that night. So after supper. So, but yeah, so Pirate Night was a lot of fun because of course the crew members were all dressed up as pirates and they had a pirate show and stuff like that. It was also the Very Merry Time Cruise. So it was all Christmas themed. So there were a lot of characters in their Christmas attire, all of the princesses in their Christmas attire. There were meetings with Santa Claus. There was story time with Mrs. Claus. There were a lot of Christmas themed like treats and stuff like that at cabanas. And then there was the fireworks for the Christmas fireworks. And that was, again, they kept it physically distanced. So they did it at different times. Instead of just one night, the whole ship comes up to the deck and they do it. They had, you went based on when your seating was for dinner and what night you were at the Royal Palace. So the night you were at the Royal Palace, if you were the early seating, you went to the early fireworks. If you were the late seating, you went to the late fireworks. So all three nights they had fireworks. And then, so they basically split the number of people into 6 groups to go for the fireworks, and then they had spots all marked off on the deck 6 feet apart, and each party had to stay on their spot and to enjoy the fireworks. But it was fun. I mean, it's not 20 minutes of fireworks like at Disney. It was probably 6 or 7 minutes, but there was also a Christmas sing-along afterwards, which was a lot of fun. And it was really nice. I think I would love to do another Maritime Christmas cruise. I think it was really getting you into the Christmas spirit a little, you know, getting a good start to the Christmas time season, I think, anyway.
It sounds perfect to me. I would.
Yeah, really.
We're so excited for our cruise, even though it's in the summertime. But I would love to go to either a Maritime cruise or a Halloween on the high seas.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. Or a Marvel Day one would be cool.
Yeah.
And we we just decided we were going to have fun with it. Like, we didn't really care. At first, we were like, well, do you think people are going to dress up for pirate night? Do you think we're going to dress up for formal night? And then we just said, you know what? We are. We're going to go, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to do it. So we did. We dressed up. We both had long gowns and fancy jewelry for formal night, and dressed up for that. We both had pirate costumes. Brittany had made us matching Christmas pajamas for the Christmas party at Disney World. So we wore them one day and went to a movie. Yeah, we went with it, and we just did whatever there was to do to have fun and enjoy it and go with the flow and just really get the most out of the cruise. I think we weren't really worrying about what other people were doing or if they were having fun. Brittany had made all kinds of decorations and decorated our door. So it was all very festive, and I would love to do that again. It really was a good time.
It sounds like it was perfect. Is there anything else on the cruise that you have left to discuss, or does that take us up to your debarkation day?
Yeah, I think that takes us up to debarkation. Like I said, it was really an amazing time. Having never been on a cruise, I don't know the difference, but I did talk to a lot of people. I kind of wandered around and made friends with people at some points, and a lot of them have done a lot of different cruises, and they said that a Disney cruise is far and above the best you'll ever experience. They said there's a reason why people pay the money for it, because it's more money than a Carnival or whatever. But it really, I don't know how to, I can't compare it. I've never been on another one, but it blew me away. Like, it beyond what my expectations were so far. I can't even describe it.
Awesome. I'm so happy to hear that. It just makes me so excited for our own experience coming up. So were there any eventful things that happened on your, when you left the ship, or was that just a pretty standard pack up and go?
Pretty standard, yeah, pack up and go. We did our own luggage and everything. We wanted to go early because we were wanting to get as much time as we could. We were going on to Universal after. And we also had to, because we were flying back to Canada, we had to go and get our COVID tests done for our flights back as soon as we got off the ship. So we found a place just out of Orlando that we stopped at on our way back and got our COVID tests done, and then came on and we went to Disney Springs and met up with you and had a lovely lunch there. And we had wanted Disney Springs to kind of be close to the end of our trip because we wanted to go to Ganachery and pick up chocolates to bring back and stuff. So you don't want them sitting in a car for a week. So
yeah. Maybe quite a mess when you got off the cruise ship.
Yeah, so it worked out well because you made yourself available at Disney Springs, so we were able to meet up and you met Britt, and she was impressed. And it's kind of funny because
she's a lovely person with a wonderful personality. It was so much fun spending time with her.
It does my heart good because I'm impressing her with these, that I know so many Disney people. You can't believe her boring mom knows people.
Yeah, we had a really, really good time at Deluxe Burger.
And we had never eaten there before. It was really good.
Yeah, and we were there much longer than what our meal took. It was fun to meet up with people and get to know them. So after Disney Springs, I heard you mention the park that shall not be named, but we'll name it anyways.
Yeah. So, we've always been a dual. We always hit both of them when we come down. We like both. So yeah, we then moved on to Universal for the final part of our trip. And we were staying at Royal Pacific there. So we were able to have the express passes, and worked out well because it was turned into kind of a rainy that rest of that day and Sunday. So with the express passes, we were able to kind of move quickly through lines and enjoy the rides and stuff like that. But we did a lot of, enjoying the atmosphere at Universal as well. This time we really just spent a lot of time at Diagon Alley and Harry Potter World at Hogsmeade, stuff like that. Just enjoying it. We had lunch at the Broomsticks, Three Broomsticks. Yeah. And that was really good. The barbecue ribs are amazing. And drank, you know, cold butter beer and then drank warm butter beer. Ended up going, so that night we went to Cowfish for dinner on City Walk. And that was really good. We like Cowfish. We've gone there before and we like the sushi. Their sushi there is really, really good. So had that, and Brittany had a burger. Really good. We got, did we buy, I think we got a donut at Voodoo Donuts.
Isn't that a fun place?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And so we took that back to the hotel and we just kind of relaxed a bit. And then the next morning, we did some organizing, getting ready to come back. And then went back to the parks again and enjoyed another day at Universal. Brittany had some gifts she wanted to buy for friends, and she had a coworker and his daughter were looking after her apartment and her cats while we were gone. So she was wanting to get some stuff for her. And so we just wandered through the shops and looked at things and went to the Grinchmas. Grinchmas show was on. So we went to that because I like that. It's one of my favorite things is Whoville when we go to Orlando or Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Universal Hollywood.
Yeah.
California. I really like Whoville. So we got to go to that and enjoy that show. And yeah. And then just got packed up to go home the next morning.
Yeah. I mean, I was even impressed with Seuss Landing. It was really like walking into my childhood books.
Yeah, it was. It was really cool. That's kind of what we were doing even there. We were happy with the amount of Christmas decorations at Universal. Like they had a fair bit of stuff out, and it was pretty cool. We thought it was, and of course we did the night show at the light show on the castle.
Oh yeah, Hogwarts.
Yeah, Hogwarts.
Yes, yeah.
That's one that Brittany always wants to see too. So we got to see that. Got to see the dragon spewing fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter is quite impressive.
Yeah, we always have to ride the train back and forth, and
yeah,
and, you know, just have fun with it, just like you're a kid. Eh? Like you take pictures on the landing and.
So
it's nice to be able to just get away from everything and just play games.
Yeah. So after going to Disney, going on your cruise, going to Universal, meeting up with me, were you ready to go back home, or were you wanting to figure out how to keep it going for a couple more weeks?
Brittany would have been happy to keep it going for a couple more weeks. I was missing because my husband, Rick, was at home. He isn't able to travel with his health issues. So he was at home and our puppy and stuff like that. And I was ready to get home to them and see them. 2 weeks is a long time.
Yeah.
So I was ready to get home and work too for me. Like I enjoy my job and I miss people when I'm away. I get anxious to get back, and I'm always thinking, well, I could be doing this, I could be doing that, and getting this done. And, you know, who's looking after this, or who's looking after that? So, I was happy to be coming back home. But yeah, Brittany she had some severe post Disney blues when we came home.
Oh,
you know, when you're nursing these days, it's not easy. So. Coming back, knowing that you're coming back into short-staffed and stressed people and burnt-out people. It's nice to get away, but you also know that you're going to have to make up for it when you get back, too. So she did. I mean, we flew in. I don't know. We got in. We were supposed to be getting in at midnight. We didn't get in until like 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, God.
It was delayed so many times. And, of course, we left Orlando. It was 80 degrees, and we came home, and it was minus 25. So... we had to get vehicles and, you know, and it was, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, and trying to get vehicles going and stuff like that, and then get to the hotel. So, and you know, and it was weird because I went to the hotel and I had prepaid it because I knew we were going to be coming in late and I didn't want them to give it away. So I had prepaid the room. And then when I went and she said, well, yeah, you said you were coming in about 1:30. This is 4:30. And I said, yeah, our plane was delayed. And she said, well, we put it through as a no-show. It's already been put through. I'm like, okay, but I paid for it. You can still give me the room. Like, and she was like, well, I'll have to go over and start it all over again. And I'm like, yeah, you're probably going to have to do that then because I paid for that room and we need some sleep. We need a room. We're not, no, neither one of us are driving 2 hours home after, you know, that. So, and then I asked her if there was a, you know, if we could get a late checkout, and she goes, well, you can, but it'll be $10 an hour. And I'm like, fine, we'll check out 11. Don't worry. So I was kind of done by then. I was like, I just want to go home. It's minus 25. It's cold. It's windy. I'm frozen. And we were both grumpy at that point. So
yeah,
we were not happy with each other at that point either. Brittany, like, she can't get away from nursing no matter what she does. Like, on the flight on the way down, there was a medical emergency and she got called to assist. They did a call for nurses or doctors, and her and one other nurse responded. And so she was busy with that on the flight on the way down. Then on the way back, she was another call for a medical emergency, and she ended up assisting on the way back. So she doesn't, you know, she didn't really get away from that. I think she was already in distress mode by the time we got home. So.
Goodness.
Thanked her for helping, but.
Yes. Yes. And after meeting her, I can't imagine her not helping.
No. Oh, no. She didn't even enter her mind to not help. I said there had to be other doctors and nurses on the plane that just didn't respond, didn't want to get involved.
Yeah.
But she's not like that. She wouldn't like that. She's going to help. But.
Well, it sounds like you two had a truly magical time. Do you have either one of you have anything planned for the horizon, or are you just going to?
We are going to be back end of January.
End of January. With
some of the Ed Cotters for some of the ones that we got together in July for the family vacation are going to be back the end of January, beginning of February. So we're going to be back for that.
Yeah, I wish we could swing that, but January 13th weekend is as late as we can make it.
Okay.
Because it cuts into tax season here too much.
Yeah, I can imagine. It was kind of a hit and miss thing for me. I wasn't exactly sure I was going to be able to get it off, but then I'm friends with the admin at work, and you know who has the most power in an office? It's the admin people.
Yeah.
And so I knew we had a year annual capital planning big session coming up, and it was going to take 2 or 3 days, and it alternates. We kind of have it in those last few weeks of January, early February. And so I started asking her when this was being planned, when we were going to have it. And she said to me, why do you need to know when we're having it? And I said, because I want to go on this holiday. And she said, well, why didn't you just tell me that? I'll just tell them that the room's not available for this time then.
Oh, goodness.
So I said, you know who's got the power in an office? It's the admin people.
Yeah.
So she made sure that I didn't have to work that week.
Well, that's great. I certainly hope that you have is Britt going as well?
Yeah, she is.
I hope you both have a magical time.
Yeah,
going there.
She's looking forward to meeting because she wasn't there in July.
Yeah, so she'll get to meet more Disney people.
Yep, she's going to get to meet more people. So she's really looking forward to that. I think her and she's got a lot in common with like Cassandra and Amy and Jenny and ones like that. So I think she's going to have a great time. She reminds me a lot of them anyway, or they remind me of her. I'm not sure how it goes, but.
I can't wait to hear how it goes meeting Jeremy Murray.
Yeah.
That's a fun experience.
Yeah, that's right. That's always a highlight of every trip.
Yes.
Somebody gets to meet Jeremy. It'll be good. She'll be thrilled.
Awesome. Well, I'm very glad you joined me. Thank you so very much. And I guess, you know, we'll just talk to everybody real soon.
Sounds really good. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks again.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye. Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go
and thank you.